The solar power industry is growing fast in Minnesota, and in different ways, it has a lot to offer residents and businesses in northern Minnesota. Today, we have the first in a series we call Solar Systems. Solar Systems will consist of reports and interviews about solar energy and the people who use it and build it in northern Minnesota. And in this series, we'll meet people who have installed solar energy in their homes. We'll hear how Minnesota's public and private utilities are investing in large solar projects and accommodating smaller ones. And we'll learn about the growing interest in community solar gardens and how they work. We'll provide consumer information that can help you understand the most affordable ways to incorporate solar energy into your home or community.
We'll begin this series with a conversation Scott had recently with Jason Edens. Jason is the director of REAL. It's the Rural Renewable Energy Alliance, a nonprofit business based in Backus, Minnesota. It's one of the first solar contractors to see the potential for solar energy up north. Since 2000, the company has designed and built solar energy systems in northern Minnesota with a special emphasis on making solar energy affordable to low-income residents and promoting jobs and a clean energy economy. In this interview with Scott, Jason tells us how solar energy projects are built, and he gives us an overview of the potential for getting energy from the sun here in northern Minnesota.
Solar most certainly makes sense in Minnesota. Absolutely. I can say that unequivocally. However, it doesn't make sense at every site. So generally speaking, when you look at the state as a whole, solar energy is a very viable technology in our climate, in our geography. That doesn't, however, mean that each and every home or each and every business has a site that's right for solar. Solar is a very site-specific technology. And it may work at your home, for example, but it might not make sense at your neighbor's home, even though you live side by side. But in terms of the general solar resource in Minnesota, we have a very good solar resource. In fact, most of Minnesota has a solar resource that's very similar to Houston, Texas, or even the western portion of the panhandle of Florida. So our solar resource over the course of the entire year is very robust. Now, even though we have cold winters and certainly some dark days throughout the heating season, on the whole, it's a very robust solar resource. Now, having said that, it certainly isn't the Mojave Desert or the outback of Australia. Everywhere on Earth has a solar resource that's unique to that particular region. And Minnesota has a very good solar resource. You know, one way to underscore that point is to compare northern Minnesota to most of Germany. So Germany has a solar resource that's more similar to Anchorage, Alaska or Juneau, Alaska. And yet in Germany, there's a very high percentage of the overall energy generation mix from solar. Germany is a highly industrialized nation with some of the largest corporations on earth, a very high standard of living, a lot of energy consumption. And even though Germany has a solar resource that's not as much as Minnesota, it's not as impressive as a Minnesota solar resource, they are able to meet a great deal of their energy needs from solar energy. So that suggests that it's more than just the solar resource that matters in terms of whether or not a state is a good place for solar development.
Because sites are so specific in their ability to deliver a solar resource, let's talk about how your organization, REAL, evaluates or assesses a site. What goes into that?
So in terms of evaluating a site, it's very important before a homeowner or a business owner, a nonprofit, a place of worship considers going forth with a solar project, it's very important that those entities reach out to the solar contracting community and have a formal assessment done. So like many of our peers in the solar industry, REAL is a solar design build company, and we are a general contractor, and we assess sites to ensure that they're appropriate for solar. And beyond that, we also are able to model the energy flows from a proposed solar project at that site over the course of its service life. And so it's really important to have a site evaluated before you further a project. And many, many companies can do that throughout the state of Minnesota, including REAL. So we go to the site. We visit the site, and one of the most important aspects of that visit is to simply meet with the homeowner, the business owner, et cetera, and to understand what it is that they want to accomplish. That is step one, is to essentially understand what it is that someone wants to accomplish with a solar energy system. And after that conversation, we then do a technical assessment of the site. We analyze the roof, if it's going to be a roof-mounted system, or we analyze the site in terms of whether or not there's space to put a ground-mounted system there. So there are many different ways in which you can deploy solar. It, of course, logically can be installed on a rooftop. It can also be installed as a carport, as a ground-mounted system. It can be installed on a tracking system, potentially. So there are many different ways to install solar at a particular site. And so essentially, the site assessment helps us understand what those options are and what makes the most sense for that particular site.
We've had a very conspicuous case of a solar contractor being cited for fraud. And you mentioned Real is just one of many solar contractors. So what's a good way to begin to look for a contractor? What should people be looking for?
As with any industry, it certainly is important that consumers do their due diligence to learn about the company and their history and what projects they've been able to deliver and their licensure and things of that nature and their standing in the community. So there are a couple different resources. The first one I would direct people to that are interested in potential solar projects is the Clean Energy Builder. This is essentially a clearinghouse for most of the solar contractors and solar design build firms in the state of Minnesota. Again, that's Clean Energy Project Builder. And another resource is the Minnesota Department of Commerce. And another good resource is the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. You can go on to the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry and search for particular businesses' licenses to have a better understanding of their standing in the community. So those are a couple resources, but one piece of guidance that we would offer is with regard to a site assessment, we are big advocates for actually having boots on the ground. One of the differentiators between some solar contractors and others is their willingness to do an actual on-site assessment. It is possible to do some preliminary assessments without actually visiting the site, but ultimately, we think it's very important to actually assess the electric service, for example, assess the heating system, assess the quality of the roof, and whereas some of those data points, if you will, can be obtained without actually going to the site, we think it's very important to actually visit the site, visit with the client, and really have a good ground-level understanding of the costs and benefits of different approaches would be at that site. Because again, it's a site-specific consideration.
We're speaking with Jason Edens. Jason is the director of REAL, the Rural Energy Alliance. It's based in Backus, Minnesota, and REAL has been designing and building solar systems in northern Minnesota since 2000. I asked Jason how solar power users establish a relationship with a utility provider like Minnesota Power or an electric co-op.
Well, the relationship is fairly easy to establish. However, if you intend to do a solar electric installation that's tied to the grid, then you most certainly need the utility's permission. The only way in which you wouldn't have to engage formally with your utility is if you did one of two things, either an off-grid system or a solar thermal system. So we're generally speaking about solar, but there are a couple different types of solar energy systems. First and foremost, there are either solar electric systems or solar heating systems, or what we often call solar thermal systems. So if you were to install a solar water heating system or a solar space heating system, you don't necessarily need the engagement of the utility because it's not tied into the electric grid. However, if you want to do what we typically call a grid tied or a grid interactive system, that does require the utility's permission. Now, fortunately, Minnesota is a forward-thinking state with regard to solar electricity, and utilities generally are in a position where they have to allow you to tie into their grid within certain parameters. And so you can install a solar electric system in partnership with the utility, and that relationship is not difficult to navigate. Most of the utilities in northern Minnesota have experience now with doing solar electric installations, and there's a fairly codified process. It's pretty straightforward. We've had the opportunity at our business to do a lot of the very first grid-tied systems with many of our utility partners throughout northern Minnesota, and partially because of that work and other contractors, there is now a fairly standardized process for most utilities to consider an application and then most likely approve it. So that process is typically called an interconnection application. So if you're on Minnesota Power, it's a very well-oiled machine. If you're on a rural electric cooperative, it's typically a pretty well-oiled machine. And so it's pretty straightforward. You simply reach out to your utility in partnership with your contractor, which is another important point. Most solar contractors will assist clients, be they homeowners or business owners, with that process. And they'll actually shoulder a lot of that paperwork and process on behalf of the client. So it's pretty straightforward.
We're seeing communities create community solar gardens. And what are those and how do they work?
So a community solar garden or a community solar array is a rapidly emerging new approach that allows homeowners and business owners to go solar, even in somewhat challenging situations. So let's say, for example, at your home, Scott, you live in a heavily wooded lot and you have a bunch of beautiful Norway pines that are very mature. It obviously makes no sense to cut down those trees in order for you to go solar. In that case, you don't necessarily have the right site because it's heavily shaded with mature Norway pines. And so in your case, you might consider subscribing to a larger solar electric array that's located elsewhere in a good site, and a portion of that larger array will be on behalf of your electric bill, and you'll actually see what we call virtual net metering credits on your electric bill that are the product of the generation at that larger array. So let's say, for the sake of simplicity, it's a 100 kilowatt solar electric array, and you subscribe to or potentially own 5 kilowatts of that 100 kilowatt array. The energy generation from that 5 kilowatt share or subscription, all that generation is on behalf of your meter. And so you still will see the benefits of that generation on your bill, even though the panels aren't on your rooftop. Now, another good example is for renters. So there are obviously a lot of renters in all of our communities, and renters may be very eager to participate in the solar industry and the clean energy revolution, but because they don't own their property or they don't own their real estate, they don't own their rooftop, they may not be able to, quote unquote, go solar. So renters are another great example of people that might benefit from community solar. There are certainly other reasons that people would want to participate in a community solar array as opposed to a residential array or an on-site business array. And those are potentially aesthetics. Some people don't care for the aesthetics of solar, and so they may want to subscribe to or own a share in a community solar array. Or there are also some economies of scale to be harvested with community solar. So, for example, when you install a 100 or a 200 kilowatt or a 500 kilowatt or a 1 megawatt solar electric array, the cost per unit of energy delivered is more favorable because of economies of scale. Whereas if you do a smaller residential array specifically for your home, the economies of scale aren't quite as favorable. So sometimes
that means it's more expensive per kilowatt.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So sometimes a subscription to a community solar array can be a little bit more economically favorable. It depends. Again, it kind of depends on the business model. So if the community solar array is owned by the utility, it may or may not be as financially favorable to the end user.
That's Jason Edens. He's the director of REAL, the Rural Renewable Energy Alliance. It's a nonprofit business based in Bacchus. REAL is one of a handful of contractors that design and build solar systems in northern Minnesota.
Say, you know, we're going to talk with Jason later in our series. And one thing REAL has done a lot of work on is making solar affordable for, middle and low income people, because a personal individual system in a home can be really expensive. And but they've got some very creative approaches to financing solar for anyone, really. So we'll have more from Jason later in the series.
And what are you envisioning for more stories?
I thought this would be a relatively straightforward series to produce. I thought what we talked about it last spring. Mm-hmm. And the more I got into it, the more I thought, I don't know anything really about this. And because there's so many different ways solar energy can be designed and used in from very large systems to, you know, some very small systems. And like the library here has three sunflowers that rotate and face the sun all day long, and that's just one example. Minnesota Power, we'll probably talk to Minnesota Power a couple times because they have a huge solar array down at Fort Ripley. We want to find out how much electricity that's making and what that means. I went to a community solar meeting in Grand Rapids a couple weeks ago, and just that meeting alone, I learned so much about how solar can have a positive impact on everyone in Grand Rapids' utility costs. And it can't supply, all the electricity people need in Grand Rapids, but it can affect the peak rates, which affects the overall costs, and so it can bring down people's. I don't know. There's just a lot of details, and I've been reading every time I turn one direction, I learned something new. So there's and of course we'll talk with people who have it in their homes. John Latimer's had it in his home for 30, 35 years. So we'll talk with local businesses that have done it. And there's just many scales of solar and many ways to do it. So I think we're going to end up, I thought we might do four or five shows. Who knows? It may end up being a dozen or more, just depending on who's willing to come forward. And I think we're working on one with Minnesota Power. And the one reason I want to do one with Minnesota Power is I went to their website, and they have a terrific website, and I think we'll post a link to it on our website. It's a website that explains their approach. It's called Solar Sense. But it also has links and information that would be useful to anyone interested. And it was one of the easier websites I went to get all kinds of information. So, and I want to talk to them about their project called Solar Sense.
Okay. And you'll hear more from our new series called Solar System. Do you want to hear from listeners or people who are involved in the solar industry?
Yeah, especially I would, like I said, I'm still learning all the details involved in these things. And I'd like to hear what people with experience might say, this is an important question to answer in the series, you know?
Yeah.
Or especially, I think the financing and the cost of these things can really vary widely from a community to a personal, to an individual, to a business. There are certainly tax considerations that can get pretty complicated and difficult to explain. But if people have what they think would be great questions to explore or personal experiences, I'll tell you, Harry, I asked Jason in the interview about fraud, and Harry Hutchins, this company called Able, A-B-E-L, has the state of Minnesota has charged them with fraud, and they were a solar contractor. So consumer information is really important.
Okay.
And that's why you want to be careful to get a good contractor. I noticed there's probably at least a half a dozen contractors in our listening area, from Aurora all the way to Park Rapids and Monaga, and Bemidji has a contractor. So we have contractors up here, but it's really important that everyone shop carefully, if they're interested in it.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. Comments at kaxe.org. This solar system interview will be on our website sometime later today. That's kaxe.org.